I will do a little bit of a review just for those who missed last week. Amen. And try and not keep it too lengthy. Unfortunately, on our way here, we had a flat. And luckily, we had left in time so that we could kind of turn around and crawl all the way back. We'd probably gone about a couple miles when the car started sounding really strange. And sure enough, it was a flat, so we had to turn all the way around and drive a different vehicle. But thank God we're here. Amen. It's just been a whirlwind. But God is awesome. Amen. He's awesome. The Bible says that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. He prepares a table even in the presence of our enemies. Amen. So we're going to start tonight on part two. And I really have to apologize that I'm not going to do this justice just because I ran out of time, but we will do the best. There's so much more to this, and maybe in about 3 weeks we'll start the next part of the series. Now, next week we're having a special guest, and his name is Brother Zen Sia, if I pronounced his name correctly. And he's a Chinese-American. I think Sister Jeanette knows quite a lot about his background, and he's coming from California. And he's going to be telling us a lot about what God has been doing in the Chinese church, Apostolic Pentecostal Church. So next week, come on out and get to hear what's happening on another side of the continent, another part of the world. Amen. And then the following week, we'll resume Bible studies. And after that, we will probably pick up the series because there's just too much to cover tonight and do it justice. And also, last week I was told, I kind of put so much into it that it was, you know, a lot. Now, who put down their email address Sunday? Did anyone here put down their email address Sunday? Because we did send out the Bible study notes, and you can get the lesson on iTunes on a podcast. So if you're really interested, we'll be sending these out too. And this is part two, and I call it the number of his name. Last week we studied the mark. And I'm going to go over a little bit, and I said there were three parts to it. This week we're doing the number of his name. Revelation 13:18 gives us a riddle, and it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. And in the Greek, the word there is arithmeo, which is where we get the word arithmetic from. It says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. And of course, that number has, you know, people have tried to put labels on it and say it was, since I'm old, I can remember all the way back to Nixon, they said was the beast, or Reagan, or Gorbachev, or someone else. And they've taken numbers, English alphabet, and put numbers on them, like A equals 1, B equals 2, and try to, you know. And of course, lately it's Barack Obama. You know, they've tried to say Barack Hussein Obama, and that's 666. But as I've taught you before, the Antichrist, his claim is going to be that he is who? Right. So therefore, if he's going to claim to be Jesus, he's going to have to also claim that he is. Yes. What nationality was Jesus? Jewish. So the Antichrist is going to have some claim to Jewish blood. Now, he may not be living in Israel, but he certainly can't be Kenyan. Right? So unless Obama has some secret Jewish blood in him, I think he's ruled out. So we're looking for someone who maybe secretly has Jewish blood. I don't know. But unless he has Jewish blood, then he can't come forth as being the Messiah. Though that doesn't stop certain people from trying. Muhammad presented himself to the Jews in Saudi Arabia in 630-something as the Messiah. He claimed he was the fulfillment of the Messiah they were looking for. But of course, the Jews then didn't accept him. Why? Because he wasn't Jewish. You know, that's obvious. So, number one, the Antichrist is going to have some Jewish blood to claim he is the Messiah. Okay? But here in Revelation verse 18, we're given a puzzle. And it says, if you have wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Now this, the Bible is very layered. That means one passage can have many, many applications. Many, many applications. God is so smart, he can take one passage and use it in several different ways. So I'm going to show you tonight that this one passage has several different valid interpretations, and they all bear on, of course, the number that's there. So I'm just going to recap a little bit of what we taught last week with where the major prophecy is in Revelation, the verse before, verse 17, it says, the mark of the beast, people think it's one thing, but I said that it's actually three different separate conditions, right? Let's read it. Revelation 13, 17 says that no man might buy or sell save that he had what? That's one condition. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So right there you see there's three separate things. And I said, of those three things, we've talked about the first one, the mark, last week. And I said we're going to talk about the last one this week. And I said, I don't think we'll be able to talk about the middle one because I think that's hidden. If you had all three, you would be able to know exactly who it is. Right? If you had the name of the beast, then there would be no mystery. Now, we may have some good ideas and some little hints, because if you have two of the three, you've got an idea, and I'm going to show you some hints tonight. But I don't know the name of the beast. But, of course, we're given the number of his name, and we're going to look at that. So, of course, there's three separate conditions. It's the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So there's three separate conditions, right, for doing that. And I said last week that the mark of the beast, and actually the number two, are copies of something that God set up in the Old Testament to identify all of those who belong to him. God, in the Old Testament, it's really not so much called a mark, but a seal. And so we see in the Old Testament that God told the Jews that they should have a sign upon the hand and upon the forehead. And he put it in the Bible four times in the Old Testament. Exodus 13, 9, it says, it shall be for a sign upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes. See? And that was in Exodus 13, 9. And then again, it's found in Exodus 13, 16. And it says, it shall be for a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between your eyes. God was telling them that they needed a mark, a seal, an identification that identified them as followers of him. And again, in Deuteronomy 6, 8, it says, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your arm and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, does anyone remember how the Jews actually carried that out? What did they do? Right, the Jews took that very literally, so they made little boxes with a band in it. And inside the box, they put some of the Hebrew scriptures on a parchment, and they bound the box right on their head. And in the New Testament, it's called a phylactery. And so very pious Jews used to walk around with this little box on their head with a leather strap. Or they had it bound on their arm, and last week I showed you some pictures of that. So we see that the mark of the beast is actually a Johnny come lately. It's something that Satan came up with to copy what God had already ordained in a model in the Old Testament to be actually revealed in the New Testament for not being just a box. Because what was inside the box? Scripture, which represented what? Somebody said it. The Word of God. But in the New Testament, the Word of God is revealed to be who? Jesus, because John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So symbolically in the Old Testament, the Jews were wearing this little box with the Word of God in it, and they didn't know that that was the seal, the mark that saved them, that identified them as being belonging to God. But in the New Testament, we find that we no longer have to carry a box on our head, because now it's revealed that the Word is God, the Word was God. The Bible goes on in John, it says, chapter 1, the same was in the beginning with God, and it says that there was nothing made that was made except by Him. So we see that Jesus was the Word. So now, in the New Testament, we find that God reveals that His true seal is the Word of God. And the Word of God, though, Jesus then goes on to explain to us, is really the Holy Spirit. Because in the book of Revelation, John, in his vision, he sees a man on a horse, and it gives us his name, right? The Word of God. So we find out that the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is really the seal for us today. So just this is all review from last week, so I'm going kind of fast. So we find that the Bible speaks about that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians, and in about four other scriptures it talks about that we are sealed with the Spirit. That's why the mark of the beast is not a chip and it's not a tattoo, because you could be forced to take that, right? Imagine some tribe somewhere who has never heard about Jesus. They could be forced to get a chip. Now, if the mark of the beast was a chip or a barcode or a, you know, tattoo, then they'd be eternally damned. But the mark of the beast is not that. Again, it's a copy, right? If the thing that seals us to Jesus is what did I say it was? The Holy Ghost. It's being possessed by the Spirit. And of course, you have to be actively seeking the Holy Ghost, and you have to receive it. So that's the big clue to truly understanding what the mark of the beast is, because if the thing that seals us to God is the possession by the Holy Spirit, then obviously the thing that seals us, the true mark of the beast to the devil, is possession by demons. And of course, that is the thing that makes it very clear, is that if you're filled with the Spirit, no one can make you be possessed by a demon. So again, that's what we covered last week, and I'm just going to go over that. Jesus explained that that's what would happen during the tribulation. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Why is that? Why do they go through dry places? Why don't they like water? Because of the flood. You see, Rehoboth people are going to be the most knowledgeable Bible students out, because I'm telling you, not a lot of people understand this. That's why demons do not like water. See, and maybe that's why God set up the baptism. You have a question. Okay, I'm going to explain that, because it's symbolic. The Bible says in Revelation that we shall have the Father's name written on our forehead, and it's symbolic. In the Old Testament, it was literal. They actually carried around a box. And the high priest actually wore a gold band around his head. And you're going to see in this lesson that some people are going to actually take it literally. But truly, it's symbolic that we have Jesus' name written upon us. Now, when do we get Jesus' name written upon us? Baptism is part of it, because really, baptism is really baptism of the water and the Spirit. See, he said he would have his name written upon us. So when we are baptized in the name of, at least that's what we do. We do it according to the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And the apostles baptized the early Christians in the name of Jesus. They took on his name by baptism. So he said he would write his name upon us. In Revelation 3, he said he would write the name of his Father, which if the name in Revelation, I think, 18 is Jesus, and then he said the Father. So again, that's another scripture that shows that the name of the Father is also Jesus. I don't know if that answered your question, but in the New Testament, it's symbolic. It's not a literal, not that we can see in the flesh, maybe in the Spirit. Okay. Now that will be literal. Now, I've been told that I should repeat the questions because they're recording it. And he asked, what about when they say you will not be able to buy or sell or trade? I do believe that that will be literal. If you were to Go to the places right now where they are killing and beheading Christians. You have no rights. You've got a choice. I was just reading this evening. You can spit on a cross, convert to Islam, or they cut your head off. Once they've cut your head off, can you buy or sell? No. So I do believe that that is going to be literal. It is going to be literal, and if you wait a little bit, I'll show you some more. Sister Zipporah. Well, absolutely, because in the New Testament, the demons knew who were truly Christians. They said, Paul, I know, you know, but who are you? Peter, I know, but who are you? So they knew when people were faking the Spirit. So there's no doubt that Satan knows who is his, and he knows those that are sealed. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, before the wrath was poured out, it said, hurt not the trees nor the, right, until we have sealed the servants of our God. Where? In their forehead, again, symbolically. And that's why Satan has decided to copy that. But he is going to copy it spiritually and also somewhat literally. So there will be implanted chips. There will be barcodes. But those by themselves are not what the mark of the beast is. They'll go along with it to provide the control basically that, the control, but them by themselves are not. I'm going to show you this scripture, and do you have another question or, okay, but please, I like the questions. Amen. When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. This is what Jesus was predicting. He was explaining what would happen in the last days. And this is the key scripture, because it says, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. He was talking about the last days generation. What he was saying is there was going to be wholesale possession. And as I said last week, the reason why God destroyed the world before the flood was because of wholescale demonic possession. And that was the reason why he had to destroy the earth, because in four chapters, Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 ends beautifully. It says, and God looked at everything he had made, and behold, it wasn't just good, it was very good. And yet by Genesis chapter 5, the whole earth was filled with violence, and it repented God, changed his mind that he had made man upon the earth. Sister Mary? Okay, Isha, please. Okay, all right. Well, don't be shy. This is your chance. This is Bible study. So if you have a question, it may help someone else who is thinking about that and hasn't asked it. Okay. So we see that Jesus predicted, even so shall it be also. What he was saying is, instead of one person being possessed, it's going to get seven times worse. Seven times worse is what he was hinting at. He said, even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. So we see that in the book of Revelation, in I believe it's chapter 9, the abyss is open, and he sees a star fall into the abyss with the key, and he opens up the abyss, and all kinds of stuff comes out. And they're called locusts and flying insects, but when we go back to where Jesus gave his disciples power, when they came back, he said, we are so happy that we have been given power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, the same things. They meant demons. So what you're seeing in Revelation is the release of all those demons to fulfill the time of Jacob's trouble, as it's called, the tribulation. So that's all review so far. So the mark of the beast, and this is a revelation, is possession, because nobody can make you be possessed. They can make you have a chip. They can hold you down and insert a chip. So if it was just the chip was the mark of the beast, we'd probably all be in trouble, Because all of us are carrying chips. We just don't have them in our skin or on our forehead. Who doesn't have a cell phone here today? All right, Dove, you're free. You're going to heaven. Now, the rest of us, we're all carrying the mark of the beast. So if that was the case, we'd all be in trouble. No, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. So this week, we're going to look at the next part of that, which I call the number of his name. And what you're looking at there is a picture of the earliest copy of the book of Revelation that they have found, and it's called P47 for parchment. And I've got highlighted in red the Greek letters that are for the number 666, okay? And in the Greek, it's chi, z, and stigma. But if you're a Greek scholar, you'll notice, you'll go and look up the Greek alphabet, and you'll see that stigma isn't in there. In this case, there's an exception for a number. All of the Greek letters also doubled as numbers. So like the Roman numerals were letters, but they were also numbers. In today, in the English language, we have separate symbols for numbers. We don't use A for one. Sometimes we do, but we use one, the number one for one. But in the ancient world, they used the letters as also numbers. And so the way they would tell when they meant that it was a number, or one of the ways that they would tell it was a number, was they would put a bar over the top of it. Can you see the bar? Now, back then too, when they wrote the Bible, there were no chapters and verses. It just ran one sentence into another. But chapter 13 ends right there, and you'll see next to it looks like a K-A-Y. That's the beginning of chapter 14, and Chi in Greek is and. And if you were to look up chapter 14, you would see it speaks about the 144,000. So if you keep going down that page, you'll see some other letters with a bar across it. Do you see them? Let me point them out. So that is the 144,000. Every time there's a number, for the most part, there's a bar. Now, there is another time they put a bar, but for the most part, the way they told that they were interpreting the letters as numbers was to put a bar across it. So in the Greek, the one exception is this number stigma, which is only used as a number. It was only used as a number and for the number six. All the rest of the letters also doubled as letters. And so in the original manuscript, it uses chi, zi, stigma. Now, think about this. When it's translated in the King James Version, how many different characters does it use for that number? Different. How many different characters are used for that number? No. One. It uses just six, right? It's 666. But I'm saying in the Greek, it did not use the number for just six. If it was going to do it like we would do it, it would have stigma, stigma, stigma. Do you understand the difference? The way it's translated, if you would think that if stigma is the number for six in the Greek, it should have stigma, stigma, stigma. But it doesn't. It actually uses three different letters. So you have to be careful when they do translation that they're not losing something. Because already we would think it's just 666. But in the Greek, it's not really stigma, stigma, stigma. It is chi, zi, stigma. And that could have a bearing on the riddle, the mystery. I hope you're following me. Am I going too fast? Okay. Okay, so let's look at this. The Bible gives us this little riddle, and it says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And so in the Greek, you've got the 600, you've got the 60 and the 6. But they've translated in the King James as if it's really 600, 60, and 6. But is it? Or is it just those letters. Just those letters. Now, I told you that the Bible is very layered. That means it can have multiple meanings and all of them be right because God wants it to be used in several different ways. But I'm just showing you how, in this case, you have to really be looking at the original to not lose some of the information here. So now, remember I said that Satan, all he can do is do what? Copy. Copy. So if you want to start understanding this mystery of the number, and we say this is the number of the beast, well then, let's start with saying, well, what is God's number? Since we know that all Satan does is copy. So what would be God's number if he had a number? Why seven? I'm not saying you're wrong. Okay, that's a good answer. But could we find that in the Bible? Could we find that anywhere in the Bible where it says God's number is seven? What could we find in the Bible that would give us God's number? There's seven candlesticks, yes. Okay, well, I think let's just go to the Bible and see what the Bible says is God's number. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One. And in the Hebrew, that word is echad, and it means actually the number one. Of course God would be one. He can be seven as well, but he's primarily first. He's primate. You know, he's the top. Again in Revelation 1:11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, meaning there is nobody else before me. He is number one. He is number uno. So if we were to give a number to God based upon Bible, we would have to give God the number one. Yes, there are other numbers that are associated with him, like the number three, which is his holiness, you know, holy, holy, holy. There's a number seven, which is associated with his perfection. But if you were to really come together and say what is God's number by biblical pure scripture, it's one. And in the Hebrew, that word is echad. And it means, it can mean the number one. It can mean, in the King James Version, it's more than 600 times it's used just as the number one. Every sometimes, other, any. But basically, when referring to God in the passage there, which is the Shema, the one that the Jews always repeat, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Isn't that what we believe? When there's only one that sits on the throne. Only one is going to be up there. When he got his vision in Revelation chapter 4, he said, One sat upon the throne. One. So, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Okay. So, now let's look at something else. What would be, and this should be an easy one, and I put it there, Revelation 4:20. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. Okay. But what would be man's number then? Six. Why would that be man's number? Yes. Man's number is six. Now, interestingly, in the Hebrew, they repeat the number pretty much for the word. It's sheshi, and it's got three SHs, and the Hebrew letter that pronounces that is called a shin, and so you'll see that it's got three shins in a row. So sheshi is the Hebrew number for six. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So man was created on the sixth day, and that's the number that is primarily associated with man. And it's interesting that in the Hebrew, like in the Greek when it was writing out 666, this time in the Hebrew it repeats the shin, 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 because in Hebrew they don't have vowels. So it's the SH, 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 and the IY are vowel sounds. So when you take that out, you end up with the three, sheshi. And you'll find that all of the Hebrew numbers are very similar from, if you were to go and look them up, the pronunciation. Now, is there another connection with man's number? We said it's six because he was made on the sixth day, and I remember teaching this several years ago. But the language of physical life It's DNA. You know, that's what determines your genetic makeup. That's, you know, I think it's Psalms 139 says, David said in the book, it says, all my members were written. That's where the language of life is. That's where your color, your hair color, your eye color, your how tall you're going to be. That's all recorded in a book, the genetic code. Now, that genetic code, you're going to get a biology lesson tonight. This genetic code is written with only four letters, or at least there are four letters of the genetic code alphabet, I should say. So you, instead of 26 letters to write what we write, the genetic code is written with only four letters. And the words, and this is interesting, the words can only be three letters long. Now, Hebrew is very much like that. Hebrew words are based upon what they call a root word, which is only, most of the time, three letters long. And so if you were to go online and go to one of these places where you can go and look at the Hebrew, you'll see that it'll have a little reference to a root word, and the root word is also only three letters long. Interesting. But the genetic code is made out of four letters, of which only three can be used at a time. And they call these bases. And I'm not a chemist, but this is the name of them. And so you'll notice that there are only these four letters, and I'm going to give you the chemical names for them. Cytosine, thymine, adenine, guanine. It's amazing that God can do what he does with so little. That the whole thing that you are is written with just those four letters. Now, I've put a picture of what the molecules look like. And can you see anything that is common between them? What is interesting and common between all those four molecules of life? Yes, they're all, for the most part, hexagons, right? What's a hexagon? A six-sided thing. So what it's telling us is that the genetic code, every molecule that makes up DNA is six-sided. And now, what did I say before? It can only write three-letter words. And I put all this other stuff in here. Those three-letter words code what they call all the proteins and amino acids that are necessary for life. There's about 20 of them. And it's the combination of those letters make all of those different proteins. And that's what it takes to be able to produce a living cell. And so that is multiplied 100 trillion times. Every single cell has your complete genetic code in one cell, times 100 trillion times. That's 100 trillion cells in your body, and each one of them has the copy of the code that makes you. Now, as I said, they call the language a trinucleotide because it's only three of them, and they call them codons. So the words that make up the genetic code are called codons, and they're made of three letters. And as you saw, the molecules, the four molecules are all of them six-sided, right? So you get that what defines man is three six-sided molecules. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. Now, the last time I taught this, which was probably 2 or 3 years ago, I had told you that, of course, scientists were messing with the genetic code, right? And so they have now come up with some new artificial letters. And at the time, they had two more. So now they had, I think, actually, they'd made it up to six new letters. What they're trying to do is change the definition of what God first created. Remember in the garden what the devil said to Eve? You can become what? Like God. Changing the name. Changing the definition of what is human. And as I said Sunday, sometime this year they're going to be, the medical doctors are planning a head transplant. Can you believe that? A head transplant. They're going to take a head off this person and put it on this body. And they believe it's going to work. So we are living in a time and age where man is coming to the point where they're trying to change the language of life that God first created. And we can see where this number that says that six is related to man. There's actually a lot more, But I don't have the time to go into it. There is another part of your genetic makeup that is not inside the cell. All of these genes are inside the cell. But there's another part that's outside the cell that's in the what they call the mitochondrial area. And that's got some genes in it too. Like 0.5% of the genes, like almost nothing compared to the billions that are inside the cell. For some reason, there is this number of genes that are only on the outside of the cell. And the number is always fixed. It's 37. 37. Now, just for you mathematical geniuses, what times 37 equals 666? All right, think about it. We'll go on. So, the riddle has many parts to it, the number of his name. Let's go on this scripture again. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. So this part of the scripture is all about numbers. Now, numbers are really very, very interesting and strange things when you start looking at them. Does anyone know what a square number is? Square number? Right. So here are some square numbers. One, of course. 4, 9, because it's 3 times 3, 16. So those are square numbers. You can keep going. 5 times 5. No, I said 37. I said the number 666 only has a very small number of integer things that will divide into it, of which just so happens 30, right, so 37 times 18, 66. So it's very interesting that inside the cell, there are these 37 genes that are separate from the billions for some reason. And so there is another number, and I'm not going to, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks when we pick this up, I'll go into that, but maybe you can research it and find it. But it's very interesting that God has built this whole thing so that it matches. Go ahead. 23 is the number of chromosomes. Okay? Chromosomes are billions of strings of DNA. So there are 23 chromosomes that you get from each parent. And so when an egg is formed, it has a total for a human being of 46. So it's the number of chromosomes that allows two things to be the same species. So there are other animals that may have 19 or some other number. But for human beings to mate, normally, you have to have 23 chromosomes. And chromosomes are packages of DNA, billions of DNA all wound together. So chromosomes are the things that contain the DNA, but a lot of them. And when a baby is born, it gets half of its DNA, 23 from the mother and 23 chromosomes from the father, and then the 22nd chromosome is the one that decides the sex. It's the Y chromosome or the X chromosome, and if you get two X's, you're a girl, and so on. Well, it is against the natural order, but because this is a fallen world, stuff happens. You know, there are people who are born with missing limbs. Similarly, there are people born with mixed up genitals. So there are people who truly have physical reasons why they are the way, but it's a very small percentage. Most of the other people, it is a choice, or it has been something that they have been fostered into through molestation. Or, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but there are a small percentage of actual physical reasons why someone can be born with uncertain sex. At that point, the doctors usually go to the parents and say, you know, what do you want to do? So that happens. But I think it's a very, very small percentage. Okay, we're on square numbers. Am I going too fast? Anyone got a question? Okay. So we see that certain numbers are called square numbers. We got 1, 4, 9, 16. But similarly, there are certain numbers that are called triangular numbers. And I know I put the slide up there before I meant to. And 3 is a triangular number. So is 6. So is 10, because you can see that the numbers form, you can form an equilateral triangle with it. And 15 and 21 and so on and so forth. And you'll find that 666 is also a triangular number. And it's a very interesting triangular number because it's pretty much unique, because there is no other triangular number that has all the digits repeat like that. You understand what I'm saying? That has 666 or 222. There is no other triangular number that mathematicians have found. So that makes it unique. And all of its constituents, that means 66, is also a triangular number. And so is 6. So all of the parts of the number 666 happen to be very unique. They call it a triangular number. Now, how do you get a triangular number? Well, you have to count. 666 is the sum of the first 36 numbers. Isn't that interesting? So if you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 36, count, you will have the number 666. And that will form a triangle. I didn't want to put all the hundreds of dots, but you get the idea. It's a triangle where the last dot is 666. So the sides then of this triangle are 36. That's interesting, because 36 is what? 6 times 6. Right? So the number that is at the root of the triangle is 36. See, I told you this is very layered, because the scripture says you need to count or calculate the number, for it is the number of a man. So the count of the first 36 numbers, and you add them all up, add up to 666, which is 6 times 6, which is really the number of a man multiplied, right? You're all going quiet. Okay, am I going too fast? Right. Okay, so now let's look at this some more. Since 6 is man's number, and we know, we've said, someone said that 7 is the number of perfection, because that's when God finished his work. Let's look at this a little bit more. So man, 36 is 6 times 6, or man multiplied, and that's also the number of his name. Man multiplied is also the number of his name. Now let's look at this. It also, I said it was 36 on each side, and there are three persons, three characters in the book of Revelation that are joined together. They're the, you want to call them the unholy trinity, and they're the false prophet, the beast, and the antichrist, or his image. And we see that the three sides then of this 666 represent the 36, which is man multiplied. It's speaking about, as I said before, them messing with the numbers. What they're trying to do is build a god, a superman, man multiplied. Remember what I said, the molecules for the DNA is 666, but they have now come up with some new letters, and they're trying to do some new experiments to be able to pick certain characteristics. They've been doing it with animals. They've produced pigs which glow. They've taken the genes out of some fish that glow, and they've put it into pigs, and they make the pigs glow. I don't know if they're going to make pigs fly, but they can make the pig glow. So now, let's look at what Satan is doing. He is trying to manipulate the number. He's trying to manipulate the number. But Colossians 2:9 tells us that we are complete in him. How could that be? Because 6 is not the perfect number, is it? What's the perfect number? Well, what would you have to do to 6 to get 7? And what is the number that's 1? Okay. Make you perfect in every good work. When you add God, which is Echad, to Sheshi, which is man, you get the complete man, the perfect man. make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You see, Satan is messing with his genetic code. He's doing his thing to produce whatever it is he's trying to do. But God is, again, I told you, it was all a copy. When you add God to man's number, then you get completion, which is the number 7. And the number 7 is Sheba. And if you look at the letters, the Hebrew, you'll see that you have to get rid of all the shins out of the shishi. And you have to add that to the letters in Echad to get completion. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. You have to have God, number 1, in your life. Or else you're still just going to be 6 instead of 7, which is sonship, which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's God added, it's us added to God that completes us. It's when we get God in our life that we can truly become one with him. Isn't that what he said, that I will be in you? Amen. Satan is working, doing his thing. He's engineering something, which we'll see later. But God has already made the plan that you may be one, as I and my Father are one. So when you add man to God, then you get the number 7, which is perfection. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Let's see how far we can get. There's another section to this, but as I said, I don't think we will complete everything tonight because I'm going to go slow. Now, let's go back to that number. I said that that whole thing is so packed with stuff. I showed you 2 things about the triangular numbers. I've showed you the fact that in the Greek, it's not repeating 666. It's actually spelling it out. Now, that's interesting. And I didn't come up with this, but I'll show you it anyway. If you look, go back to the Greek. That's what it looks like if you blew it up, the Greek number. Now, Jesus said something interesting. I come in my Father's name. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. I guess, I don't know how long ago, but some years ago, probably 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Christian who was formerly a jihadist. He was a terrorist. And he became a Christian. And he was from the PLO, he was an Arab, so of course he could speak Arabic. And he was doing some research, and he came across this, looking at it, not in our Bible, but looking at it as it is in the old Greek script. And to him, it looked like Arabic. And it looked so similar to the Arabic that he wrote a little thing. Now, here is the Arabic for what he thought it was. Do you see how similar it is? That is Arabic for in the name of Allah, the two crossed swords, and I don't know what the other proper name for the other letter is. So he realized straight away, and I told you I was giving you some hints, and we see this tied up with what's happening right now in the Middle East. He looked at that Greek script, which was written hundreds of years before Arabic developed, and he read that as Arabic. It's not meant to be two cross swords, but that's exactly what in Arabic, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, is the thing that, guess what, is put upon all of the ISIS, their flag. And you can see it amongst other scripts. You can see, if I was to point it out here, you can see here, it's turned around, but that's what it is. It's in the name of Allah. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. The Muslims are expecting their Messiah. They're expecting the Mahdi. In fact, just last week, the chief imam of Turkey, he went to Jerusalem. And he went and he stood in the holy place. And he declared, in the name of Allah. What you're seeing is the beginning of fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy... A Christian can't go in there and declare Jesus, even though it was the site of the temple. But now we are seeing fulfillment of scripture, that here we have the name starting to be revealed of who the beast is, of what is really going on. Because, as I said last week, the start of the demonic activity is right over there, where where they're cutting off the heads of children, they're crucifying people who will not take the name Allah, who will not swear allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad. Remember what the Bible says when Jesus first came, and John the Baptist, they said, are you the Messiah, or are you the what? The prophet. Because the Jews were also expecting Moses, because he had said in Deuteronomy that God will rise up someone like after me. They didn't realize that that was Jesus, so they're expecting some other prophet. Muhammad told them he was that prophet. And we see in the New Testament the false prophet. We see the three symbols starting to form. And we see, starting to get a glimpse of what the beast really is. And you see them wearing this in the name of Allah. Jesus said, because they would not receive me, they're going to have another come in his own name, and him they shall receive. Amen. We are living in the time where the number of his name is starting to be revealed. And unless you as man get with God and let him complete you, we're going to be in trouble. It's time for us to understand that we are living directly in the time of Noah, and that these things are starting to be fulfilled. I didn't really have the time to put all the other things into it, and probably when we start this up again in maybe 3 or 4 weeks, we'll do the next section, which what I'm going to tell you is Satan is again trying to change the name. That's what they said in Genesis chapter 11. It says, let us build a tower, let us make us a name. And in the Hebrew, that's Shem. They were trying to change the definition of what a human being is. And God came down, and he had to do what? He said all the earth was of one speech and one language. It uses two different Hebrew words. The speech is for the actual spoken word, but I believe the language was the genetic code. God changed the genetic code then so as to stop Satan doing what he's trying to do now. Remember, as soon as that happened, the ages of men started to do what? Go down. They went from living Noah 950 years all the way down until the turn of the century. The lifespan was probably only about 50. But you've seen the lifespan start to go up because Satan needs these bodies. Jesus already, or God told him in Genesis, that all you're going to get is dust. That's why it is appointed unto men to die. We are going to get new bodies. God has already said, and I said it Sunday, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go where to do what? To prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So don't worry about this body. He's got something so much better. This is going to decay to dust. And this is all the serpent is going to get. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And Satan, he says, all you're going to eat is dust. He thought he had control of this body. But God said, no, I'm going to do something different. I've got a better plan. I've got a greater plan. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I know you think that we haven't done an hour and a bit, but we have. Amen. And we will probably take this up in about 3 weeks. And I will announce it, put it on Facebook. But I hope you have been blessed and seen how things are being fulfilled. That right there, they've got this name, which in the Bible is the same as the Chi Sigma Chi, a stigma, which is the 666. But in Arabic, it means in the name of Allah. Isn't that interesting? We're beginning to see hints of what is happening. It's the same people who are cutting off Christians' head, the same fulfillment of prophecy, which in the Old Testament said, I saw the souls of them that were under the altar for the testimony of what? Jesus Christ. Until we get to the place where he is in us and he can complete us and make us perfect, amen, we will just be the number 6, just a man. But when Jesus gets into you, you can be complete and perfect in him, amen. And I just want you to be encouraged and know God's got this under control. Everything that Satan's doing is just a copy. It's just a copy. It's just a copy. And very soon, the Bible says that the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will arise first, and then we which remain and are alive shall be changed in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And therefore we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. It's time to take what's happening seriously, because things are starting to be fulfilled. If we knew it, we'd be shocked. I mean, what I know is only what's public, but imagine all the things that are going on. See, I am pretty sure, I couldn't prove it, but I am very, very sure that somewhere someone is trying to clone a human being. There is nothing stopping them doing it. I'm not technology-wise. The only thing that's stopping is laws. And you know how man is with laws. And this is exactly what was going on in Genesis. So we know that we're at the end times. Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. In the time of the toes, right? That's when the kingdom of God is going to be cut out without hands and dashed the symbol of the world ruling powers in the feet. But before it says that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "And they shall seek to mingle themselves with the seed of men." But they can't, just as how iron cannot mix with clay. Now, they can't be the seed of men because they're seeking to mingle with the seed of men. Again, this is a hidden prophecy that kind of gives you a hint of what's going on. It's a time to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, because they can't hurt anyone who is sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says, hurt not. You can hurt everything else, but you can't touch anyone who is sealed. You know why? Because you've got that blood applied. And just as on the Passover night, the death angel had to pass over, he had to see the mark on the door. You can't touch that house. I have sealed it. We have been sealed with the blood of Christ. And more than that, we have been sealed with his Holy Spirit. And I'm encouraging you tonight to meditate on the Word of God, because the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, we're living in end times. Things are going to get worse before they get better. They'll only get better when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is ruling on this planet. They can't have peace if they have rejected the Prince of Peace. But I'm telling you, for the Christian, we're okay if we have been sealed. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time.